Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
You know what I'm saying? You know, on the road to Disney World, you ought to think about your final destination and say, I'm going to be happy the whole trip. Now, we may have times where we, you know, have to stop and things happen along the way that aren't always pleasant, but ultimately, we know we're going to a good place. Therefore, it ought to reflect in our faces. I don't know if you can see my face because of my beard, but if I pulled it away, I'd be smiling. All right. Let me pray for us. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. We're going to hear the gospel. We're going to sing praises to God. Are you all in for that? Are you up for it? Is it going to be okay? You going to make it? Of course you are. It's all good. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. And Lord, we give you all the praise. We just want to say thank you. Thank you that you gave your Son to die for our sin that really opens the gates of heaven for us, for all who believe. When we say us, we don't just mean this group right here in this building. We mean us, people that you've created, have an access point to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, and that is good news. And we want to be those people who proclaim it and who live it out. And so, Lord, as we sing, I pray you hear it in our voice. We're the choir. You're the audience. And we give you praise. We love you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Trading my sickness,
remember, like I said in my prayer, they're not the choir. They're not the performers. They're leading the choir, which sits out here. Y'all in the choir loft. Did y'all know that? Yeah, we're the choir. God's the audience. Isn't it funny we come to sing praise music, but so often we don't have God in mind. We're looking at the people up here. Well, put God in your mind and sing praises to Him. Amen? Got it? Good.
Thank you.
their microphones on or not, they are leaving. There they go. The March of the Penguins. Baby penguins? All right, baby penguins. All right. I was really close to this front row. I don't want these youngins up here to get complex like I'm focused right on y'all. Hey, it's so good to be here. It's right before Thanksgiving, and we all have our minds toward, hopefully toward, being thankful for something. And we're jumping back into our series in 1 Corinthians, and we're in 1 Corinthians 15. And I would just like to say I'm thankful to be in 1 Corinthians 15, where the topic is the gospel and good reminders and our testimony, and it's good preaching. And not to shine a bad light on anything, but the end of 1 Corinthians 14 can be a little bit touchy preaching, you know what I'm saying? If you get me. This is good territory. So if you have your Bible, open up 1 Corinthians 15. It should be up there. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. And again, just kind of focusing on some things that we can be thankful for. And I've just put three things on here. Be thankful for good reminders. Be thankful for the gospel. And be thankful for your testimony. Okay, so good reminders, the gospel, and your testimony. And here's what the word says. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I have received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and don't even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to hear Your word, to be thankful, to recall things to our minds that are good. And Lord, we love You. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Does it seem like in your life that the bad examples and the things that make you mad float closer to the surface of your mind, and the good things seem to be heavier and they sink to the bottom? Is that the way it is in your life? Sometimes it seems easier to recall when somebody slighted you rather than when somebody blessed you, although you might have been blessed or slighted by the same person. Usually we hold on really tight to the things that make us mad, and we take for granted the things that make us glad. You know, I wasn't trying to rhyme, but since it's preaching time, I thought I might do it. But I'm going to tell you, one of the things we ought to be thankful for is a reminder of good things. Be thankful. Preachers talk a lot about the evils of social media and Facebook, and I'm sure there's a lot of that out there. But can I tell you, one of the blessings is that if you know you get on there, and there's a way sometimes good events get recalled. You know, sometimes they'll throw up a good memory, and it catches you by surprise. The other day we were driving. I guess it was yesterday or Friday, and Sarah got a memory on her Facebook, and she flashed it over to my Facebook, whatever that is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it was of my daughter who wrote a song for God. She said it was about 5 years ago. So she was like 7 or 8 years old, and she wrote a song for God, and she sang it to him, and we got it on video, and we just taped it. You know, and anytime I'm old, we taped it, we recorded it, whatever. Whatever mechanisms are on there, and we got it on Facebook. And here's my now almost teenage daughter, you know, back when she was 7, singing a song that she wrote to God, just as sweet as can be. And it brought up that memory, and I thought, what a blessing. You know, how awesome that is. It's easy to get focused on all the things that are hard and bad and ugly, especially if you watch the news, because the news job is to make you think that the world is all bad, ugly, and mean. It's try to make you cynical. It's try to get you thinking that darkness and badness wins, and God is not real, and light cannot prevail. That's the job of the news. No matter which channel you're watching, by the way, they're all run by the same devil. And he purveys his message equally through all. If you want good news, we have a source for that. That's just a reminder. The good news, you don't click and find it. You can open it. You can hear it. But can I tell you something? That other stuff, if you just want to know what happened and how many people were killed and just to be up on things, that's fine. But don't go resting your soul on that stuff. It divides people and makes us dark and sick. We need good reminders. And all through the Bible, we get reminders. I wrote some of them down here, some of my favorite ones. One of my favorite passages to preach in Thanksgiving is Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so I went back there and got this reminder. Moses tells the people of Israel, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to make wealth." Remember the Lord your God when you get up and you go to work, when you get up and you find ways to provide for your family, when you find that things, maybe you're a child and you don't even think about how things cut. You just go to a dresser and there's clothes and that have been washed and dried and folded and put into a dresser. And you just think, oh, or maybe you don't think of it at all. You're just like, hey, that's the way it's supposed to go. And then you walk outside and there's a magic chariot full of gasoline that will take you places. And you don't think about it, but somehow that's been provided for you. And it's good to remember and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that I can do the things that I'm called to do. That I can do the things, that I can say the things, that my brain is waving, that my lungs are pumping, that my heart's doing whatever it does. And I just hope it keeps doing it the way it's supposed to do it. And I'm so glad. I'm glad that God does the things that I have no ideas about. You know how many things are going on in your body and my body right now that you are not conscious of whatsoever? Yet God made you to run. He made you to work. Now when those things stop working, it catches your attention, right? But maybe we ought to be thankful for all the days it worked perfect. When we get sick, it captures our attention. Maybe we ought to be thankful for the days we're well. How much wellness gets wasted because we're just worried or not thinking or not grateful? Oh, we're not promised one day. We're not promised any kind of measure of health. Let's remember it's God who gives us that ability. In the book of James, and James is a little tough now, but he gives us a reminder. He says, those who hear the word and do it, it says, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. So let me give you that reminder. Don't forget what the Scripture says to do. Don't forget who the Scripture says we are. Who does the Scripture say we are? Well, we're created by God in His image, which affords us a certain dignity. But then there was a fall where mankind, representatives of us, Adam and Eve, fell into sin. And they pass that tendency to sin on to us. When you're born, you have that tendency, that bent towards sin. We all do. You do, I do, we do. And yet, Christ, God's Son, came to save us. And when we put our faith in Him, it says, we're born again. And when we're born again, we're part of His family. And we're on the road to see Him. So when I think about being, you know, not forgetting who I am, I remember I'm a person who was created, fallen, redeemed, and heaven bound. That ain't too bad. I'll take that, you know. I don't want to forget who I am. I don't want to forget that I was a sinner. Because as soon as I forget that I'm a sinner, I'll be reminded by my sinfulness. It's funny how your sinfulness can reach up and grab you by the back collar or something. But it'll grab you if you don't watch it. You'll be reminded of your sin. As soon as you think that you're not a sinner, and, oh, I ain't going to do this, I ain't going to do that, I'll never do that again. We can almost watch and see when that's going to happen. We are dependent on God forever. Don't forget that. It's just a good reminder. Peter wrote two letters in the New Testament, 1 and 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, the last chapter, he says, I've written these as a reminder. I've written these as a reminder that you might know who God is and what the gospel is. Y'all, we all need reminders. We all need reminders. Some of us, maybe most of us, are going to have a time this week with our family. You know what I know about your family? It's probably a lot like mine. There's some hardship. There's some bad memories. There's some bad things. Maybe some tense relationships. But there may be some crazy people. You know, that. Hey, if you don't think there's any crazy people in your family, that just means you're the crazy one. You're like, there's no crazy people in my family. None at all. No, no, no. It's like, you're right, Uncle Bob. Anyways. I don't know why crazy people are named Uncle Bob. But anyway, I don't have a crazy Uncle Bob. But there's somebody. All families are like that. But you're going to gather with them. And I bet you they're like this too. There's some good things. You probably can even remember when Uncle Bob did something, you know, positive and good. And was there when nobody else was there. Or did something. Or the joy that you had. Or a good time that you had. Can I encourage you? Remind each other of the good times this week. Give each other a reminder. Say, hey, I remember. I remember that time when we were, oh, you know, over that one place. Remember that time? Tell deer hunting stories, dudes. You know, if you got some deer hunting stories, tell them. Ain't nothing better than sitting around the table saying, man, we were sitting there, right? And all of a sudden, this buck come out from over here behind the tree. And I couldn't tell if it was a tree moving or if it was actually a buck because it was so big. But it was a buck. And then I shot at it. But he looked at me and I shot again. That's how my stories go. And I shot again. Still nothing. And my children were laughing at me. But you know, tell those stories, man. Bring them up, dust them off, tell them. Remember the good times. Do it on purpose, all right? Let that be one of the things we're thankful for. Now, this passage that we read is a specific reminder about the gospel. I mean, that's what this passage is about. He says, I want to remind you of the gospel. So let's talk about the gospel and why we should be thankful for the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that story, and I don't use that word as in a fiction, but the story of Jesus Christ, how He came to save us. We sing a song. You all know I like to sing. Nobody likes when I sing, but I like to sing, you know. But if you know this song, sing with me. I'm looking at you, Tanya, because you know how to sing. You got to help me out, right? He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I give you my all. Would y'all show me now?
All right. Hey, whoa, there we go. And so, but that's the story of Jesus. He came from heaven to earth to show the way, the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, the cross to the grave to the sky. And that song encapsulates the gospel. So Paul says, I'm writing this to remind you of the gospel. The story about Jesus Christ, that when we put our faith in Him, what He did is applied to our life, to our soul. God don't ever want us to forget that. Somehow, we've gotten the idea that when you meet Jesus, you become a person good enough to make it to heaven. That's a lie. You ain't never going to be a person good enough to make it to heaven. You're going to lie about being a good enough person to make it to heaven. The first person you lie to is you. We're some of the most self-deceived people about our own goodness. I deserve to make it because I did a good thing one day. Well, that's great. amidst the myriad of evil thoughts, plans, words, and desires, you did a good thing. Nice. You ain't never going to be good enough on your own. The gospel is not about us being good enough on our own. The gospel is about us trusting Jesus Christ in His perfection, depending fully on Him, surrendering our life to Him, and saying, if He don't get us there, we ain't going to get there. That's the good news. The good news is you can't make it, but He can get you there. You can't make it, but He can get you there. That's reason to say, yes, sir, thank you, amen, hallelujah, whatever you want to say. Praise the Lord. Or just, that's good, whatever. Say it in English, right? Whatever it takes. Just say it, man. But that's what we're preaching. So let's look at the gospel. The gospel is the subject of our preaching. Paul says, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached. Y'all, there's a lot of preaching that goes on. Even, you know, and it's not a matter of saying, well, in all those other churches, and you know about those TV preachers, and you, I'm not here to criticize anybody, but I am here to say this. We ought to preach the gospel. We ought to proclaim the gospel. We ought to be those people who are not sitting there going, oh, what are we going to do because you can't pray or preach or have Bible study in public schools, or we can't do this, or the courtrooms have the Ten Commandments taken out, so let's all gather into a corner and cry. No, man. Why don't we stand up and preach the gospel? It ought to be the subject of our preaching. That Jesus, it don't matter. I remember, I think it's Charles Spurgeon said, he's a famous preacher from a while back, but he said this, it don't matter where in the Bible you're preaching, preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Bring it around to what Jesus did. And I'm going to tell you, it don't matter where you are in the Word, you can do that. Preach the gospel. It's the subject of our preaching. The gospel is the object of our faith. In other words, we tell people to believe. We're not talking about in the cultural way of just being a believer. I believe I can fly. Oh, I promise I wouldn't sing. Keep working. I got a backup. If you don't, I'll need you. Anyway, I believe I can touch the sky. Oh, my wings and fly away. I don't know what else to say. We get this idea of, I'm just going to believe anything. As long as I'm a believer. Doesn't matter what I believe, but I'm a person of faith. I'm just going to believe. I'm going to believe in myself. I'm going to believe in humanity. I believe in the goodness of humanity. Well, that's great. I don't. My faith is selective. I don't believe I'm going to rise up and do it and conquer it. I believe Christ rose up and conquered, and that in Christ I am more than a conqueror. I believe I'm going to make it again, not on my own, but because He can get me there. The gospel is the object of my faith. I put my faith into something. I don't just broadcast my faith out into the air like I'm just a believer. Come on, what may? Hopefully my faith lands on something. It's targeted. My faith is targeted on Christ. It's targeted on the gospel. It's focused in on Him. Not just being a believer in general, but being a believer specifically in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's going to get me there.
Amen.
I believe in the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Listen to what it says. It says, I want to remind you of the gospel which I preach, which you received and on which you stand. Okay? That's the idea of believing, specifically the gospel. It says, by this gospel you are saved. God didn't overlook our sin. He didn't forget about our sin. He didn't just go, oh, babies, that's all right. That's all right. It's okay. It's all right. I knew I could lean on Trez. It'd be all right. She's 17 now. Had her birthday recently. Amen. Give her birthday. Give her birthday clap. And so, the point is, he didn't just He didn't love us just like that and just let it go. God actually did something substantial to save us from our sin, and that is what the gospel is. Paul writes in the most theologically the greatest book in the New Testament describing theology, which is the book of Romans. And y'all know this verse, chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation for all who believe. It's the power of God. God didn't just will it or say it. He actually did it. He actually did it. I love that about God. You all know how much trash people talk? You all know how much trash people talk. Golly, have you listened to any of the campaign commercials over the last month or so? He's bad, I'm good, she's bad, I'm good, they're bad, we're good, blah, 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 blah. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. La, 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 la. Come on. Trash-talking people. But that's part of our nature. I'm not even telling you to make it stop. I don't think you can stop it. If you know somebody, you love them, and they ask you to do something, you're going to say, I'll do it, babe. In the best way, in best intentions, mom and dad will say, I will never let nothing bad happen to you, darling. How are you going to stop something bad happening to somebody? Even in our good intentions, we trash talk. Can I tell you something about God? He really can do it. Y'all, I'm not preaching a fantasy or a myth or any other thing. I'm telling you about the God who made the provision to save everyone who believes. It's not well-wishing. It's not good intentions. Y'all know what they do with good intentions, right? They pave a little road with it. You know where that goes. Yeah. God ain't like that. He did it. He paid for it on the cross. The gospel is the power of God to save. You don't got to question it. Will he do it? Will he do what's necessary to save me? He's done it. Man, we preach that it's done, that it's finished, that the power has been put out there, and you just got to believe in order to be attached to it. He's done it. He's done it, and it's finished. It's awesome. The gospel ought to be the priority of our ministry. The priority. He says, that which I received, I passed on to you as first importance. And can I tell you, when we're in like membership class, if you want to become a member at Christ Community Church, and some of y'all have recently, and we're going to embarrass you and bring you up here one day, we're going to say, these are our new members. Yeah, Miss Marty. Yeah. Now I see you. We're going to do it right now for her. No, I'm just kidding. No, come on. You ready? You ready, aren't you? All right, but listen, one of the first things we do is we say, it don't matter if you have a formal church membership, you've got to belong to the kingdom of God. You've got to belong to Christ. The priority isn't that we have more people here. The priority is that you are saved and that you know the Lord. Any other priority is going to fall short when the heaven's light reveals what we've been doing. If we've been just trying to get people, or we're just trying to get money, if we're just trying to do this or that, all that will be revealed. What we want to do is make sure that you have been saved and that you are right with God. There's no other priority. That's number one. If a ministry gets involved in anything else, you might say, but John, what about discipleship? You can't make disciples out of unsaved people. You can make them religious and moral and stuck up and snobby and snooty. You can make them just like you and me, but you can't make them disciples of Christ if they haven't been saved. So we've got to have mission one priority that people are getting saved. What an awesome year it's been at Christ Community Church, seeing people get saved. What an awesome time. Man, I hope that you will always know that this is a place where if you need to get saved, you can talk to somebody. Talk to me. Talk to James. Talk to Bert. Talk to LG. Talk to anybody who knows Jesus. Grab somebody. And if they don't know, they'll pass you on to somebody who does. But know this. We're concerned about that. Number one priority is the gospel. Everything else, It don't matter. Programs, money, people, buildings, blah, 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 blah. The gospel is number one priority. Without that, none of the other stuff has a purpose or a meaning. Lastly, it comes out of the authority of Scripture. The gospel is backed up in Scripture. And I can't just, I wish I could go through all of it, but we'd have to start back in Genesis and work our way up. And I did that before in the sermon. I'd almost still be preaching, right? You know what I'm saying? I've worked all the way up. I remember it was Easter, and I said, I'm going to go back all the way to the first prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, and I worked my way up through the sacrificial system and all these things explaining Christ. It was a long sermon. These folks were like, oh my goodness. And I was a visiting preacher too. They never asked me back. Anyway, that's one of those times where you know they're not going to ask you back, so you tell them everything. I got to tell you everything. But I want to tell you all this. The gospel, it doesn't just rest out in well-thinking somewhere. It's based in the Scripture. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Christ rose from the dead on the third day according to the Scripture. This isn't based on a preacher, a religion, a denomination, popes or princes or kings. A lot of people have one of the weirdest beliefs, and I used to have it, so I can say it's weird and stupid. I used to remember thinking, there used to be a group of kings who were trying to keep all the people subdued, and so they made up the Bible to have moral teachings so that the people would obey the government. I said, which kings were that? I don't know, just a group of them. Yeah, what time, like what decades, what era did they come and write the Bible in to do that? I don't know, they just did. You know, these diverse kings came up at diverse times and they tried to subdue the people. Communism is based on religion is the opioid of the people to keep them subdued. Shoot, man, you ain't read this book. The first big picture of redemption is where the slaves rise up and they take out and they find their liberation in God and they walk out on those who have been oppressing them from the government. The Bible teaches anything but mindless submission. Doesn't teach that. Doesn't teach us to go blow things up. Doesn't teach us just to submit to ungodliness. It teaches us to follow God above any and every earthly government ever. That's what the Scripture does. It has authority. It's awesome. And the gospel is based on that authority. Okay, those are things to be thankful for. The reminders, the gospel, and lastly, our testimony. I'm just going to share, Paul shares his testimony. And he says about all those who had seen Christ, and he talks about himself. There's two parts of the testimony that I think we ought to focus on. And I want to challenge y'all this week, while things are different, if it's not different any other day but Thursday, then work it out. That this week you share your testimony with somebody. Share your testimony. I ain't asking you to share theology. I'm not asking you to share a doctrinal study on the end times or the Trinity. I'm asking you to share your testimony. And I want you to think about these two areas. One, your testimony ought to point out that Jesus Christ is alive. Somewhere in your testimony ought to be that you know that Jesus is alive by faith. See, in that first part there, he says, he was seen by 500 people, by Cephas, by James, all the apostles, and me. Our testimonies shouldn't so much be telling a story just about us. They ought to be using us as an example to say that Christ really is alive because he's made a difference in my life. How can... Dead saviors can't save. Dead lords can't lead. Jesus Christ is alive and well. That's why we can have a testimony. That's why we've been changed. Share your testimony and let it point to the fact that Christ is alive. Focus in on what he's done, not on what, well, I was like, it was a dark and rainy night when I was born. Oddly enough, I had parents. They were with me. We celebrated. I grew up in a house. I had a dog. Yeah, that's great. Now, could you come to the part about Jesus? Just say you were a sinner. What kind of sinner were you? You can sum that up pretty quick. Were you a church-going sinner that just thought you were better than everybody else, but you grew up in a Christian home and you received Christ at a young age? Well, praise God, because that testimony still shows that Christ is alive because He saved you. Were you one of those people who didn't grow up in church and was just wild and crazy and had to do every stupid thing under the earth, even though everybody told you not to, and you got all these scars on your body to prove it? Great. Cut to the chase and tell them about how Christ saved you. Point to the fact that He's alive.
Amen.
All right? The second part of your testimony ought to be, what's He doing in my life right now? What's He doing in me now? The Apostle Paul, I love this. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I know, you know, tattoos are still controversial in church, but if you've already passed that, you know, you're going to get a scriptural tattoo, that's not a bad one. I am what I am by the grace of God. What a reminder. What a testimony. And who was He? Remember I told you, do what God said. You know, show them what God's doing in your life. He says, I'm an apostle, but I don't deserve to be. An apostle was a missionary. It's almost what we call missionary today. It's one who was sent. I've been sent out in the name of Christ to share the gospel, although I'm very unworthy of it, but nonetheless, it points to what God has done in my life and is doing. God's done it. God's doing it. I want to touch on something, not in the outline, just really quick, because I know a lot of people struggle with it. A lot of people struggle with forgiving themselves. They say, I can forgive other people. I can accept that God forgives me, but they have this hang-up, this something catches. And they say, but I can't forgive myself. Listen to Paul's words. And tell me if you think he might be struggling with this, but I'm going to tell you that he also gives us the answer. For I am the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Let me tell you that his persecution involves people dying. He casted his vote to kill those who were going to be stoned to death and killed. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death and killed, and he was approving. He was holding the coats for those who killed him in order to help. He was helping when Stephen was stoned to death, the first Christian martyr. Want to talk about some guys got some baggage? Most of our baggage don't come really close to this. He was literally a Christian killer. He was killing Christians. He was enraged. His testimony is found in Acts chapter 9, 22, and 26. Read it. Read how he says he was breathing out murderous rage and threat and imprisoning Christian people. And yet now he's a proclaimer of Christ. Do you think he didn't have a little bit of struggle internally? The early church didn't even receive him. They didn't trust that he got saved. That's the guy who's been putting us in jail. That's the guy who's been saying he wants to kill all of us. And he's trying to say, man, I've been changed. I've been changed. They're like, yeah, be changed over there. Be changed back where you came from. And they did. They sent him out of Jerusalem. He had to sneak out of Damascus. They kicked him out of Jerusalem. You don't reckon he struggled with forgiving himself? How did he get about it? How did he get to it? How is any forgiveness available? Man, verse 10 hits. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was not without effect. No, I work harder than everybody else. But with me, He says, it is the grace of God in me, the energizing, empowering, forgiving grace of God. Want to know how you're going to forgive yourself? I can tell you. I don't know how if you're going to do it, but I can tell you, if you get to a point, if you want to get over that ledge of not forgiving yourself that you're stuck on, it's going to have to be grace. You're going to have to apply grace to it. You're going to have to apply grace to you. You're going to have to let Jesus Christ wash your feet You're going to have to let the blood of the Lamb cover you. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to allow yourself to be cleansed and forgiven by God. No one else can do it. But you've got to see yourself there. Put yourself in His hands and let Him forgive you. Let the grace of God cover all those things that you thought you were too strong to do. That's why we don't forgive ourselves. We're like, we have this weird pridefulness about us. I never thought I would ever do that. I never thought I would sink that low. I never thought I would be that bad. Well, you are. Now get over it. Let the grace of God cover you and forgive you. And you move on. Don't you try to hold a higher standard of forgiveness than God. Do you think He's going to appreciate that? Do you think that's some kind of virtue that you don't forgive yourself? It's not a virtue. It's a hindrance. It's a handicap. It muddles the gospel in your life.
Amen.
Let it go and let Christ forgive you 100%. Most of the people I talk to about issues of forgiveness, it's not about forgiving others. It's almost always about forgiving themselves. And you might need to come and kneel before the feet of Jesus today and say, I'm here for me. I'm here for me. I'm standing in the need of prayer. I'm standing in this place. And be done with it. I know you'd say, hey, I'm saved, but somehow you hadn't applied it. Somehow you didn't think it went that far, but it does, and it will, and it can. You just need to say, Lord, I'm yours. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I believe this. I believe that the church is hurting because people take themselves out of ministry because they don't think they're worthy. Well, Paul wasn't worthy to be an apostle either. It's by the grace of God he is what he is. I'm not worthy to be a pastor, I promise. It's by the grace of God I am what I am. Randy's not even worthy to be retired and sitting there, but it's the grace of God that lets him be retired and sitting there. I couldn't help it. He's just sitting there. We're not here. We're all still trying to earn it. Stop it. Stop it. Receive the forgiveness that Christ died to give you and that He lives to apply. Y'all get it? Let the gospel have its work. Share your testimony. Be thankful. Remind each other why we love each other. Matter of fact, during the offertory time, after the invitation, and we don't always do this, but I want you, you're sitting by the people that you love. Because I didn't tell you to sit anywhere else, so you know, birds of a feather flock together. So guess what you get to do? You need to hug the people next to you during the offering time and you can tell them that you love them. Okay? But before we get there, we're having a time of invitation. And I can promise, there's some things that can change your life this morning if you'll respond. If you'll respond to the gospel for the first time in faith, you will be saved. Mr. Sidney, am I telling the truth? Yes, sir. You will be saved. If you respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ in faith, you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You and your household. That's just how it works, through faith. So you have this opportunity. If you need to experience the forgiveness of God because you've just been miserly, or you've been so hung up on who you are, you never allowed it to really just cover all that, and you don't forgive yourself, would you do that? Forgive yourself. It's not you with the power of forgiveness. You're just coming to the grace of God and letting it apply to you. It's not irresponsible. You're not going to become a drug cartel leader if you forgive yourself. I think people think it's just so irresponsible. I'm holding myself to a higher standard. Yeah, it's higher than God's because He forgives my grace. Stop it. Experience the forgiveness and live with joy. And lastly, the invitation is for anybody who just wants to just say thank you to God, whatever it is, whatever for whatever. For the things you don't even count in your day, just say thank you, God. All right? You got it? Get saved. Receive the full forgiveness and forgive yourself through the grace of God. And just be thankful. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. And I pray that you'd be with us as we respond to you. And people are going to respond differently. Everything from apathy and neglect to full-fledged surrender to whatever comes in between. But Father, whatever happens, I pray it's all for your glory. and that you would get the glory and you'd bless us. Lord, we love you. We give you this time. Of course, you gave us this time. We give it back and say thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all.
when God starts something, we can't stop it. You just let it, you know, let God have His way, and y'all, you know, you respond as God leads. It may not be today. It may be later. I remember my preacher in Michigan. I always said he preached spiritual time bombs. We had listened to the sermon, and you'd think, okay, that was good. And then like Tuesday or Wednesday, it would be like, boom! Like, oh, that's what he meant. You know, and it would hit later, and the response came, you know, later when the Holy Spirit hit the button. And it was just good. Just look to respond to God in whatever way He leads, okay? I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward for the morning offering. If they do, I'm going to ask Dave Walters if he'll pray for us.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we come to you just thanking you for the many blessings you have given us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you just help us to realize that no matter how bad we have it, someone else has it worse. And help us, Lord, to go out into the world to share Jesus with the lost and dying world and tell about the living Savior. We pray now that you bless this offering. Bless each one that gives and those that came. We pray to bless them too. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
By your generosity. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward.
Sung at a man's funeral who touched so many people, and I remember it being the first good funeral that I went to as a Christian. You know, because having faith in God changes the atmosphere of the funeral, because you're no longer mourning the complete loss of somebody. You're saying goodbye for now. Okay? And you know what their reward will be in heaven. And I remember, you know, we were crying, but it just wasn't the same. And there was a choir at this funeral, and they sang that song. And it just, you know, we were crying because we thought about all the ways this guy had impacted our lives through Christ. But it was a good funeral. His name was Welton Chavis. We called him the I Love You guy. I love y'all. Y'all look back there, see Mike Amadeo waving around right there. He's leading up a trip to Israel. If you've never been to Israel, and you can work at it's an awesome opportunity to go. He's leading a trip in April. But what that means is you need to get on board now, because it's not a small thing to plan. It takes a lot of resources and coordination of time and effort. If you are interested, let me give you this one bit of advice. You pray about it. If God tells you to go, commit to going, even if you ain't got the money. Resources follow commitment. You understand what I'm saying? Resources follow commitment. If you feel like God wants you to go, commit to going, and watch how God will give you the resources to get there. A lot of people look around, they don't try to do anything because they don't have the resources. Well, if you're not committed, you ain't going to get the resources, I promise. So if you want to go, see Mike, pray about it, and do it. But you have to act now. It's in the end of April, but it takes that long a time to get the whole process moving. All right? So this is kind of like last chance, but that's Mike back there. For friends and guests who are here with us today, glad to have you. Glad to see you here. Have some folks who said we're going to be at church, and they're here, and I'm glad to see them here, and as always, for everybody. And I think that's it. Read your bulletin for the rest of the announcements. Not having church this Wednesday, but we'll be back to regular the following Wednesday. And I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Great. Oh, I forgot to pray. Lord, be with us in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.